the fourth chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 15. Genesis 4, 1 through 15. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him.
In Jude, verse 11, Jude says, Woe unto them, for they went in the error of Cain, and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Jude spoke of the events that we've just read about, and he spoke of certain men in the church of his day. He further describes them as filthy dreamers, men who defile the flesh, who corrupt themselves like brute beasts. He describes them as they who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, who despised divine authority. He describes them as spots in their love feast, trees without fruit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, wandering stars. He describes them as ungodly, sensual, mockers, murmurers, complainers, men pleasers, and ordained unto condemnation. With such horrifying description, we ought to take alarm and arouse our attention to investigate what it is that these did to cause them to be so condemned. The writer talks about those who pursued the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Korah. In this study, I want to talk with you just a little bit about the way of Cain. Cain, like Abel, evidently wanted to worship God, but he wanted to worship God in his own way. Instead of offering the blood of an animal, he offered the fruit of the ground. God would not accept his offering. But rather than to change, Cain became angry. God told him that if he did well, he would surely be accepted. And he calls upon him to rule over the sin that lieth at the door. But instead of repenting, Cain simply added sin upon sin. Cain committed the sin of murder as he slew his brother Abel. When God then asked Cain about Abel, Cain lied and disclaimed any responsibility for his brother. And so God then said unto Cain, "Now art thou cursed from the earth." As we read in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 17, and other passages of Scripture, we see that Cain was not the kind of fellow that we want to be. Those who pursue the way of Cain are certain for condemnation. But what was the way of Cain? The way of Cain was the way of substitution. Let's turn our Bibles back again to the book of Genesis and look in chapter 4, where we read at verse 3, "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah." God had not required the fruit of the ground. In his offering, Cain walked by the rule of human opinion. In Hebrews the 11th chapter and in verse 4, we learn that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain in that he offered it by faith. He was willing to hear what God said and do what God said. In Romans 10, verse 17, faith does indeed come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is evidence that God had spoken relative to the kind of sacrifice that he would accept. But Cain wouldn't listen. Though Cain offered by human opinion, he may have reasoned that his sacrifice would be accepted. He may have reasoned, like many might reason today, that his sacrifice was just as valuable as that of Abel, or that it required just as much a sacrifice on his part as Abel's sacrifice did on his part. Or he may have reasoned that vegetables were a part of God's creation just as much as the beast of the field, and therefore that his vegetables would surely be accepted. He may have reasoned that the vegetables that he brought were as much of a part of his substance as anything that God had blessed Abel with. And he may have reasoned that his offering was to the same God as that of Abel, therefore surely God would accept what he had to offer. And he might have reasoned that his offering was offered in sincerity, just as much as the offering of Abel was offered in sincerity. And above all, perhaps he reasoned that God did not say, "Thou shalt not offer vegetables," and therefore vegetables would have been all right. Notice, if you will, that no man who walks by human opinion today could offer any better reasons than Cain could have offered. We might reason the same way that he did. And this ought to teach us that God will reject all sacrifices or all services that are today offered by the standard of human opinion. In Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12, the writer said that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Jeremiah tells us that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. In Matthew the 7th chapter and in verse 21, Jesus said, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He said that there would be some who would come believing that the things they did were right. Many would say unto him in that day, "Lord, did we not cast out demons, do many mighty works in thy name? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There were those who would believe the things that they did were right, but yet they were told to depart, that those works were works of iniquity. In Isaiah chapter 55 and in verses 8 and 9, the writer emphasizes that "my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways." God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's. When I study with people about Cain and Abel, I like to ask the question, why? Why did God accept one and reject the other? Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. Cain offered his by the way of human opinion, and thus the difference in these two sacrifices. Cain wanted to worship God,
But woe unto him who follows in the way of Cain. The way of Cain was the way of envy and hatred. Turn again to Genesis chapter 4, where we read at verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth," or angry, "and his countenance fell." Rather than to respond positively to the rebuke of God, we see that Cain became angry and his countenance fell, because God accepted Abel's offering and rejected his. Why did he get mad at Abel? Abel had done him no wrong. But yet we see that sin has a progressive nature about it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 13, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, Paul writes, "But evil men and imposters shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's not one thing just to stop at the commission of one sin, but sin often compounds itself, as it did in the case of Cain. Abel had done his brother no wrong. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 12 we see, as that issue is discussed, "Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." The way of envy and hatred is listed among the sins that are identified in Galatians chapter 5 as the works of the flesh. Reading beginning at verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strifes, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The way of Cain was the way of envy and hatred, and identified among the works of the flesh. The way of Cain, though Cain wanted to worship God, is identified as a way of intolerance and persecution. Envy and hatred lead to intolerance and persecution to the extent that Cain killed his brother Abel. The nature of envy, brethren, has not changed. It's the same as it always has been. Men who walk by human opinion are very tolerant of other men who walk by human opinion. But the thing that I find most interesting is those who walk by human opinion are very intolerant toward the man who walks by faith. As you'll turn in your Bible to Matthew, or Mark it is, the 15th chapter and in verse 10, when Jesus was brought before Pilate and the request was made that Jesus be crucified, Pilate perceived that for envy the chief priest had delivered him up. Envy was the reason that Jesus was crucified. Paul's brethren were very intolerant in the church in Galatia, or the churches of Galatia, for the very same reason. Paul said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" These of whom Jude wrote had the same disposition. Men today have the same disposition toward those who adhere to the truth. And John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19, tells us exactly why. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God." As we read these verses, we see that the nature of envy has indeed not changed. Men who come to the light that their works might be manifest. But those who walk in darkness do not want to come to the light, as Jude tells us in Jude verse 11, those who walk in the way of Cain. Again, we want to note that Cain wanted to worship God, but the way of Cain was a way of willful contempt for divine authority. Willful contempt for divine authority. When God refused his offering, rather than to repent, Cain became angry. No longer could he make the claim that he was just honestly mistaken. For now we see that Cain is deliberately wrong. He became angry. When asked about where Abel his brother was, he lied and said, "I know not." He denied any responsibility for his brother. When God asked him, "Where, Abel, your brother is?" he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, in a very real sense, we are our brother's keeper. So not only did he lie, but he denied responsibility for his brother. In the Galatian letter in chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, the apostle writes, "Brethren, if any be overcome in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted." He denied his responsibility, but nonetheless, responsibility for our brethren still exists. He killed Abel because Abel respected divine authority. God respects only his way. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, and in verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. But he said, narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." In John chapter 14, and in verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We see some examples of this approach in Leviticus, the 10th chapter. We read of Nadab and Abihu, who offered a strange fire unto the Lord. What made the fire that they used strange? Here were two men who wanted to burn incense into the Lord. Like Cain, they wanted to worship the Lord, but they were not willing to worship the Lord according to divine authority. Here were two men who offered a strange fire unto the Lord. I don't know where they got their fire. I don't know of anyone that does. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I know where they did not get it. From Luke, the 16th chapter, the Bible tells us that they were to receive their fire from the coals of the altar. They did not receive their fire from the coals of the altar. And thus, when they attempted to burn incense unto the Lord sent fire from heaven and devoured them. Aaron, their father, the text tells us, held his peace. What could he say? He knew that divine retribution was right, that it was righteous. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we read another example of one who had not respect for divine authority. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we read of King Uzziah, who, beginning in verse 16, was lifted up in his heart, the text tells us, so that he did corruptly, and he trespassed against Jehovah his God. For he went into the temple of Jehovah to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Someone might say, well, what was wrong with that? Here's another man who wants to worship God. But in his desire to worship God, he did not submit himself to divine authority. King Uzziah was not a Levite. He was not among the priests. Though he was king of the lineage of Judah and had done a great deal of good in throwing out, as it were, or tearing down the idolatrous places of worship, his good did not qualify him to go into the temple and offer incense unto the Lord. You'll notice at verse 18 it says, concerning the other priest, that they came to him and said, "It pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Jehovah, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shalt it be for thine honor from Jehovah God." Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy broke forth in his forehead before the priest in the house of Jehovah beside the altar of incense. We learn that King Uzziah died a leper because of his disrespect for divine authority. The men of whom Jude is speaking are men who despised dominion. They despised authority. In Jude verse 8, it tells us, "When any man today gets angry, instead of repenting when his error is pointed out, we must admonish that individual and say, 'Woe unto him, for he is going the way of Cain.'" But I find it interesting further that though Cain wanted to worship God, his way was the way of divine condemnation. When Cain committed sin, God gave him the opportunity to repent. He said in verse 7, "If thou doest well, if thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth or lieth at the door. He said, unto thee shall be its desire, but do thou rule over it. Cain had the opportunity to correct his sin, but he chose rather not to correct his sin. Cain went out and killed his brother Abel. Therefore God cursed Cain, and he said, now thou art cursed from the ground, or from the earth. He was to be a fugitive and a vagabond upon the earth. He went forth with the prospect of every man turned against him. The way of divine condemnation. We too will receive a just recompense of reward for our works. In the Hebrew letter, in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The writer is indicating that there is no respecter of persons with God. It doesn't matter who you are, what age you lived in. If you do those things that are displeasing unto the Lord, you stand to receive divine retribution just as surely as Cain did. In the Roman letter, in the second chapter, Romans chapter 2, and in verse 8 beginning, the Apostle Paul writes, but unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God. Just as surely as God blessed Abel and cursed Cain for his unrighteous deeds, so likewise will God bless the faithful today and will curse those who practice unrighteous deeds. The Lord will come to execute judgment upon all. Jude tells us in Jude verses 14 and 15. I want to call your attention to that. Jude verses 14 and 15, where the writer says, and to these also Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of their works of ungodliness, which they have ungodly wrought, and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The writer indicates surely the unrighteous will be punished. Though Cain wanted to worship the Lord, we find that his way was the way of eternal regret. In Genesis chapter 4, once again, reading beginning at verse 13, it says, and Cain said unto Jehovah, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. And it shall come to pass that whosoever findeth me will slay me. The way of eternal regret. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Jude said, woe unto them, for they have gone after the way of Cain. The way of Cain is yet the way of eternal regret. Even though there are those who believe that the way they have pursued is the correct way. I want to call your attention again to Matthew the 7th chapter, and notice in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain. Judgment is forever. Cain realized the righteous retribution of God. Cain was cursed all the days of his life. There was no escape in this life. In like manner, when the Lord passes sentence upon the wicked, they will endure judgment forever. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke the 16th chapter, as we read there concerning the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible tells us, beginning at verse 19, now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Many things we learn in this passage, but one of the things that is surely learned is that judgment is forever. When this rich man died and lifted up his eyes, being in torments, there was no possibility of it getting any better. There was no possibility of a change of his eternal status. There was no possibility of it getting better. And as we read in this passage, the place where he was so awful that he didn't want anyone else to come there. He had five brethren at home. He wanted Lazarus to go and speak to them, lest they too come to this awful place of torment. Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. I find it interesting in this text that though the rich man desires that Lazarus appear to them from the dead, as if that would make a greater impression upon them than listening to Moses and the prophets, Abraham said, If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Now, friend, that ought to hit bottom in our thinking. To the extent that we would not be impressed if one was to rise from the dead and stand at your door and knock on your door and say, don't do these evil things like so-and-so has. Because there is divine retribution. There is a way of eternal regret. Don't do what these have done. Would you listen? Abraham says, no, you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen if one was to arise from the dead and speak to you. We have the law of God. Listen to what God says in His law. In Matthew the 21st or 25th chapter in the 41st verse, we likewise learn of the eternal nature of this judgment. In Matthew chapter 25, reading beginning at verse 41. Your Bible and mine says, Then shall He say unto all them on His left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. In verse 46, And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Some years ago, I had a Bible study with a man who really was a universalist. That is, he believed that everybody would be saved. Upon the reading of this passage, I pointed out to him that eternal punishment is as long as eternal life. The word eternal is used the same word in both of these connections, indicating that just as long as life is, that's as long as punishment is. And so we learn that the way of Cain was the way of eternal regret. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, reading beginning at verse 9. Revelation, the 14th chapter, verses 9 through verse 11, says, And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a great voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receiveth a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb, and their smoke and their torment goeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, they that worship the beast and his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name. Now, as we read in this passage, there are a lot of speculations that take place upon this passage, but one thing is certain, and that is the judgment that would take place was sure and lasting. It was not one over which one would find an escape. In chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, and in verse 8, the text tells us, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." As we look at Cain, we see that Cain started out as a man who wanted to worship God. His sincerity seems to be apparent, but yet his way was not the way of God. He ended up as a liar. He ended up as a murderer, a fugitive, one that was cursed by God, one who was banished from the presence of God. Though he started out as what appears to be a sincere man wanting to worship God, he deviated only slightly from God's divine plan. But the way of Cain was a way of substitution. He substituted his own way for what God said. His way is the way of envy and hatred. His way is the way of intolerance and persecution. He could not tolerate Abel being accepted and he himself being rejected. His way was the willful contempt for divine authority. His way was the way of divine condemnation. And his way was the way of eternal regret. Though he started out in what appeared to be a good sense, wanting to worship God, but yet today his name lives in infamy and shame. How many of you who would have a son would name the son Cain? Because of what you know about Cain, you would choose a different name, no doubt. It was disastrous to walk in the way of Cain, the way of envy, hatred, intolerance, contempt, the way of, that inevitably led to the way of divine condemnation and eternal destruction and regret. Walk by faith. Love and uphold those who walk in truth. Respect divine authority, that by and by in the end you may have the divine approval and eternal glory. In our next study, we're going to be talking about Balaam, as Jude continues in verse 11, the error of Balaam, and then, of course, the gainsaying of Korah. And we'll see why that these participated in things that are so harshly condemned, and why we need not exercise ourselves to walk in their way. You've listened patiently to our study this morning. Perhaps something we've said has been a source of encouragement to you to do the things that are right and to abstain from the things that are wrong. Perhaps I'm talking to one or more in the audience this morning who's been considering their obedience to the gospel of Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. Perhaps it would be your desire this morning to turn from the things that you know are sinful in repentance. Would it be your desire to confess your faith and to humbly be baptized into Christ? Everything is ready. What about you? Perhaps you've obeyed the gospel and you've not lived as you know you must. Would you then repent of your sin, confess it before God, and ask His forgiveness? If we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel this morning, make it known while together we stand and sing this song.
Jesus. this. Number one, I want to thank everybody for your interest in my health and well-being. I appreciate all the calls and the emails that have been sent to me. I want to thank Chris for making all that known, and I appreciate him for doing that on my behalf. Second, I want to thank everybody who preaches when I'm not here and those who teach my Bible classes. I think sometimes I don't mention that enough. The congregation is so well blessed with men who are so capable of doing the work that you do. And I want you to know that I appreciate that so very, very much. Richard.
Again, we thank you for being here, if you're visiting with us, and hope that you'll have the opportunity to come back and be with us again. We meet this evening, as we said, at 5 p.m. Remember that the children's Bible class is in the back at 4:45 this afternoon, so if your children are going to participate in that, please be sure they're here before 4:45. Or leave then and ask Brother Wesley Joe to lead us in a word of prayer.
Please bow with me. A gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow before you now. We are humbled when we realize the power and the might that you possess. When we look at the world around us and we see all that you have created, and when we see all the ways that you provide for us in our daily lives. And we know that you bless us beyond what we deserve and what we need. And we pray that you would continue to provide for us and care for us, if it be your will. We pray for those of this number who were not with us today for various reasons, that your hand would be upon them so that if they are ill, they may be made well. That if they are traveling, they have a safe journey. And if they are spiritually ill, we pray that you would help them find their way back to you, so that all may be able to worship with us once again. We pray that our worship this morning has been pleasing to you. And we ask that you would always help us to search the scriptures and diligently study your word, that we may not find ourselves worshiping in the way of Cain, but that we worship you in the way that you establish in your word. Go with us now as we leave here. Help us to be strong and good examples unto everyone that we meet, that through our examples we may save souls. Through your Son's name, amen.